Today we're going to talk about, we'll start by talking about something called a Venn diagram. This is a way of drawing a picture of sets so that we can understand their relationship visually. In a Venn diagram, a set is represented as a region in the plane, like a blob. In the examples that I give you here today in this lecture, the regions will be rectangles, but you could use circles or ellipses or any simple blob will do. And the first picture, which I'm about to show you, shows the intersection of two sets A and B. So you can see that the rectangle on the left is A and the rectangle on the right is B. And of course, we're thinking of the interior of the rectangle as the set A and the interior of the other rectangle as the set B. And you can see that the intersection, shaded in gray, is a smaller rectangle. And that intersection lies in A and it also lies in B, just as it should. For the second example, let A and B and C be three sets, and I show those three sets in the diagram that's being displayed here. A is on the left, B is above, C is below, and we are illustrating here A intersect B union C. So first think of B union C as the union of those two triangles on the right, and then intersect that with A, and you get the gray region in the picture. And in the last figure, we're going to look at A take away B union C, which actually equals A take away B intersect A take away C, and the picture clearly illustrates that. A is on the left, B is above, C is below. B union C is quite clear in the picture, and subtracting that from A gives the gray region in the diagram. So one thing I need to emphasize is that if I ask you to prove something about sets, drawing a Venn diagram will not do. You will not get credit for drawing a Venn diagram. Venn diagram is something to help your intuition and to guide your thoughts. But a proof is a proof. A proof is written with symbols on the paper. Okay? So try to keep that point straight. Now we will learn some new ways to combine sets. So definition, let S and T be sets. We define S cross T to be the set of all ordered pairs S, T, so that little s is in big S and little t is in big T. The set S cross T is called the set theoretic product, or sometimes just the product of S and T. So when you see S cross T on the page, you think S product T. It is worth pausing a moment to consider this last definition. Strictly speaking, it is not entirely satisfactory because we have not defined ordered pair. Any attempt to do so using phrases like first element and second element seems to lead to more questions than answers. A rigorous and elegant way to define the ordered pair AB that goes all the way back to John von Neumann in the early 20th century is you define the pair A, B to be the set containing A and the set containing A and B. This definition exhibits clearly, directly, that the ordered pair contains both A and B, and that the element A is distinguished. So that just shows you a rigorous way to come up with this idea of ordered pair. Of course, you've been thinking about ordered pairs for many, many years, because when you learned to graph on Cartesian coordinates, you learned about the ordered pair X, Y. So here's an example. Let capital S be the set containing 1, 2, 3, and let capital T be the set containing little a and little b, then S cross T is six ordered pairs, 1, a, 1, b, 2, a, 2, b, 3, a, 3, b. You see that 1 is paired with each of a and b, 2 is paired with each of a and b, and 3 is paired with each of a and b. And not surprisingly, since S has three elements and T has two elements, the product set S cross T has six elements. And in fact, one could prove that if capital S has K elements and capital T has L elements, then S cross T has K times L elements. This will be explored further in the exercises. Notice that S cross T is a different set from T cross S. With S and T as in the last example, T cross S equals A, 1, B, 1, A, 2, B, 2, A, 3, B, 3. And that's different from S cross T, which, as you remember, was 1, A, 1, B, 2, A, 2, B, 3, A, 3, B. Now we're going to come up with a new idea, which is actually very important for a variety of reasons. If S is a set, then the power set of S is the set of all subsets of S. We denote the power set of S by script P parentheses S. We may write capital X is in P of S if and only if X is a subset of S. So let's look at an example. Let capital S be the set containing 1, 2, 3. Then the power set is the set containing 1, the set containing 2, the set containing 3, the set containing 1 comma 2, the set containing 2 comma 3, the set containing 1 comma 3, the set containing 1, 2, 3, and the empty set. You might be a little surprised to see 1, 2, 3 listed as an element of the power set, but 1, 2, 3 is a subset of 1, 2, 3. And you might be surprised to see the empty set is an element of the power set, but the empty set is certainly a subset of any set. So it's a subset of S equals 1, 2, 3. So here's a first interesting proposition about the power set. Let S be S1 through Sj. So S has j elements, then the power set has 2 to the j elements. Very interesting. That means given any set, you can always produce a set that's larger by just taking the power set. That's true for infinite sets too. So we approve the assertion by mathematical induction on J. The assertion P of J is this: the power set of a set with J elements has 2 to the J elements. P of 1 is true because in this case the set capital S has just one element S1 in it, and the power set has two elements, namely the set containing S1 and the empty set. Notice that S has J equals 1 elements and P of S has 2 to the J, which is 2 elements. Now we go to part C, which is the most interesting part. So assume P of J, so they assume a set with J elements has 2 to the J subsets. Now let T be the set T1, T2, T3, up to TJ, TJ plus 1. So T has J plus 1 elements. Consider the subset T prime, which is T1 through TJ of T. Then P of T certainly contains P of T prime, because T prime is a subset of T. It also contains each of the sets that is obtained by adjoining the element TJ plus 1 to a subset of T prime. Thus, the total number of subsets is 2 to the j for the subsets of t prime plus 2 to the j for the elements for the subsets of t prime with tj plus 1 adjoined. And 2j plus 2j is 2 to the j plus 1, and that's the total number of subsets for t. And that's what we wanted to prove. That completes the induction. Notice that we have indeed counted all the subsets of t, and any subset either contains tj plus 1 or it does not. So we've completed the proof. We have seen that the operation of set theoretic product corresponds to the arithmetic product of natural numbers, and now we have seen that the operation of taking the power set corresponds to exponentiation. Later on, we'll use the concept of function to unify all of these ideas, and that is the end of today's lesson.